Let's get some reaction from Bruce Williamson from Rail Future, which is an organisation campaigning for better rail services for passengers and for freight. Bruce, good morning.
Good afternoon. Oh, pardon me, it's good afternoon.
It is actually, Bruce, yeah. Freudian slip. So, yeah, good afternoon to you. This is just the worst news for us here. We had issues with the previous operator. So I think all of us as potential passengers, but people who live in the area, we can't work out how we can get an operator that's moved on and the new operator can't actually operate any better than the old one.
Well, part of the reason is that they're employing the same staff and running the same trains, and in some cases have the same managers, and they also inherit the same problems that the previous operator has. So a change of contractor doesn't necessarily solve things. But I mean, you're right. I share your view. It's very disappointing, and in the run up to Christmas, you know, fewer trains, a worse service, no doubt more overcrowding, and I think it's inexcusable, really.
So when I used to work in London, and I worked in London for 10 years, so obviously I travelled every week. I used to go down on a Monday and come back on Thursday or Friday, and I travelled mostly by train. And I got used to the fact that the train started to get faster, and of course that the service was really comprehensive every sort of 15 or 20 minutes, as it should be between two major cities. Now, we're going to get what is normally around 50 services on a Saturday, cut down to 30, on what is really, for the general public, a peak day. How much of a blow is this for passengers?
Well, yeah, I mean, it is a real problem. You take as you said, you've used it, a good service, and you make it not so good. I mean, I mentioned overcrowding. I mean, I imagine even at the best of times, these trains are pretty busy, so that's going to be a problem. And in a worsening of the service, yeah, it's not the direction we should be travelling in.
So Avanti say it's due to a shortage of train crew and industrial disputes. And they say that's why they've had to bring this reduced timetable forward. How do you take on a franchise again and then it doesn't have the staff when you take it on?
Yeah, I mean, well, okay, like I say, you can inherit a dodgy franchise, but long-term planning, you know how many trains you're going to run. You know how many staff you need to do that. You take a long-term view. You recruit the drivers. Why have we got into this state? I partly blame the government, because what they're doing is they're putting pressure, financial pressure on the rail contractors to cut costs as far as possible. So that means they get the very minimum of train crew that they can get away with to run the service. And of course, when things go wrong, people take leave, there's industrial action, whatever, you're relying on those drivers taking overtime, and they have the right to say, oh, no thanks, I'm going on holiday, and then you have to cancel services. But lack of long-term planning, I think it's inexcusable.
So if I go to a restaurant and the food's not very good, but then somebody else buys it and I go and it's still not very good, I'm not going to go again. Now, this company's a new company. It's only just got a 3-year contract. And it's not as if it's covered itself in glory in its previous period. How does that award happen from a business point of view?
Well, I mean, the government, I think on this case, they were taking the easy option, and they provided, I think it's a 3-year extension, didn't it, to their contract. You like to think that when a new contract is awarded, it's thoroughly worked out and they have a comprehensive plan and everything's going to be rosy. Now, I'm a realist. You know, in the real world, things don't quite happen like that. But I think the government, the DfT, have taken the easy option. Yeah, just award the contract, it'll be fine. And again, you know, the government, the DfT, they're the ones who are putting the squeeze and saying, no, you can't recruit all those drivers. You've got to do it at this minimal cost. And that's what we end up with. So to get a better railway, I do ultimately put the blame, you know, in the hands of the government, and it's up to us. Not just rail campaigners, but, you know, Joe Public, to put pressure on politicians and say, this isn't good enough.
You know, you're speaking to somebody here, Bruce, I know we've never met before, that has always loved trains. And I remember, unfortunately, I was 16 or 17 when Beeching decided that we actually didn't really need trains anymore. I've used, and now I travel in every single day. Well, not always, because there's not always a train. I try to travel in every day with Transpennine and then get the tram. So I'm a user. I want the trains to be there. I want them to travel down to London in 2 hours and 8 minutes, which they're doing at the moment, which is great. And I want to be able to get on one every 20 minutes. Now, I can't do that. What could be done, if anything, to rectify this?
Well, sadly, turning around the rail industry, it's a super tanker. You know, there are no magic bullets, no quick fixes, really. Although, having said that, you know, resolving the industrial dispute would be a massive step in the right direction. And then it's up to the government to make a long-term commitment to the railway. We've seen the fiasco with HS2, and that's typical of the way that the railways have been run. It's been feast and famine. It's been investment. Yes, we'll do this. No, we're not going to do this. Yeah, we'll have this scheme. No, we've cut the funding for it. And that is really, really bad for the railway. Well, it's bad for any industry, but for particularly for the railways. And I think, you know, if the government actually had a long-term plan and stuck to it and invested in the railways, then we might have a decent service.
And to finish with, and I'm going to, you and I still here in the real world, there is a possibility that 12 months down the line, with every pun intended, that we might have a different political administration. But in the real world, genuinely, Bruce, how much chance is there that a Labour government could do any better than the current administration?
Well, they could do better, but again, I go back to my point about being no quick fixes, no magic bullets. So if the next Labour government, as you say, probably will be Labour, you know, if they make a commitment to invest in the railways and stick to it, and maybe the following government as well, then we will start to see results. But it's, you know, it's difficult. And I know we want a decent service now, but it's difficult to turn it around at such short notice.
Bruce, been great talking to you. Thank you for joining us.
Cheers.
Bruce Williamson from Rail Future, an organisation campaigning for better rail services for passengers and freight.